Small cat.
Alright, we can move up. Alright, Rabbi Katz has been giving a shiur on Hilchas Yichud. A lot of Yichud are complicated, but important to review. Two things I want to say, perhaps opposites. One is that we live in a day and age when nobody can learn these halachos and say that's ridiculous. These are things that are very, very, very important, and unfortunately you open up the paper, you see if people would be careful about these laws, if all people would be careful about these laws, the world would be a much better place. That's number one. Number two is you'll see that the halachos seem complicated on the one hand, but on the other hand, what you learn from Rabbi Katz, and he's done an incredible amount of preparation, and we've also talked together about it. It's really about an ounce of foresight. You know, if you're in a situation like, oh no, is this yichud, is it not? That's a complicated question. But when you know something's coming up, then you're going to listen here and you'll know what to look out for, and you can prepare in advance. There's usually a solution to almost anything. If there's not a solution, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. So listen carefully, take notes, and thank you to Rabbi Katz.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Haber. Specifically, thank you for going over my notes and for discussing with me. It was very helpful. So, thank you. So, we're in the time of Shovavim, which is why we're having the series of Shirim. These weeks are called Shovavim, after the Parsha, Shmos Ve'erbo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim. The point of Shovavim is for us to learn about and protect ourselves and maybe even do a little bit of tshuva on like the averus that have to do with immorality. It's brought down that the best way to do tshuva on those averos is to learn Torah. Now, another really good way to protect yourself from those averos is to not have yichud, because that's really the whole point of the aver of yichud, is to not get yourself into a situation where you might get trapped and do something that you'll later regret. So if we learn the halachas of yichud, then we'll be accomplishing both things. We'll learn some Torah, and we'll better guard ourselves from any possible issues that could come up. So that's what we're going to try to do tonight. We're going to try to summarize the laws of Yichud. Okay, so what's Yichud? Yichud is that the Torah says that it's aser for a Jewish man or woman to seclude themselves in private with a person of the opposite gender, because this could lead to an avera, something that's not that they shouldn't do. Although we know that the reason for this avera is the avera of yichud is because of the other averas that could come about from it, that doesn't mean that if you think that your situation is one where nothing will happen for whatever reason, that doesn't mean that it's okay. If, based on what we're going to say, it is yichud and it's not allowed, so you can't say, well, it's only not allowed because of what might happen, and it's not going to happen. It's not allowed, it's not allowed. The only thing that we say that the reason for this avera is that it shouldn't come to certain things is so that the chachamim, chazal, the rabbis, can create for us the gedarim, the laws, the particulars of when it's a problem, when it's not a problem. But what they've said is a problem is a problem. What they've said is not a problem is not a problem. It's not for us to say that for whatever reason, it's not an issue. If the rabbi said it's an issue and you shouldn't be doing it. Specifically, it's brought down in Sfarim that these averos, the averos involved in forbidden relationships, is from the hardest averos that there are to guard yourself from, because the Yetzirah for these things is extremely strong, and therefore to protect yourself from it is extremely hard. So you need to be extra careful to not come into a situation that's a problem, which is why the Torah itself gave an extra layer and said don't even have yichud. And the Torah itself said not to do it. It's because the Torah knew how hard it was, so it said stay away from it altogether. It's even a question in the among the rabbis whether one's required to give up his life in order to not have yichud with someone. We know that someone is required to give up his life to not do the next step, but to not even have yichud is a question. Now, I'm not saying that we pask in that way, that one should give up his life to not do yichud. It's a question you could ask your local Orthodox Rabbi Haber, what he holds about that. But what's certainly true is that this is a very, very, very serious avera, and it's something that shouldn't be taken lightly. And like Rabbi Haber said, if you educate yourself, so then you can avoid it altogether. It's, like he said, it's seemingly complicated, but it's really not. And if you know that what you're doing sounds like something you heard in the shir that might be a problem, so call Rabbi Haber and he'll tell you, well, if you do this, then it's fine, and then you're fine, and then you don't have anything to worry about. Now, I'm not a posek. I'm not coming to tell you definitive halacha. That's Rabbi Haber's job. That's why he gets the nice office. I'm just giving you an outline of the general ideas of when yichud is a problem, when it might not be a problem. But for specifics and, you know, for your situation or what's going on with you, that's maybe something to, not maybe, it's something you should discuss with Rabbi Haber. And you'll be educated now to know what is a good question and what might be a question and what's something that you should ask. Okay. So now we'll get on with it after all that introduction. The Torah forbids a man and a woman from secluding themselves with each other. A man and a woman who are usher to each other. Because we said the whole point of this avera is that you shouldn't come to do something usher. So if this man and woman are forbidden to be with each other, so then they're forbidden to have yichud with each other. One of the women that it is forbidden to have a relationship with is a lady who is anida. So therefore it would be usher to have yichud with a lady who's anida. Now, we don't know which ladies are anida and which ladies are not anida, so basically all women are usher to have yichud with because we don't know. But anyway, the rabbis added that single girls who potentially you could marry and it's not really usher for you to be with them, the rabbi said, don't have yichud with her either. And the rabbi said, a non-Jewish lady, you shouldn't have yichud with her either. So really, you shouldn't have yichud with any ladies. Except, what? Right. Except. So now pay attention for the next hour and a half. Except. certain relatives who are very close relatives, so we're not worried about anything. So them you could have yichud with. We'll get to there. And there are certain situations which wouldn't be considered yichud. But if it's considered yichud, then it would be a problem. What's considered yichud? How much time is considered yichud? So it could be, really, the idea is that you shouldn't do anything forbidden. So it would be the amount of time it would take to do something forbidden. The halacha of how much time that is not so clear. It could be as little as between 2 and 5 minutes. But anyway, when something is usher from the Torah, it's usher even less than the amount of time, or let's say you're talking about an amount of food that's forbidden to eat. You can't even eat less than the amount that's forbidden. It's called chatzi shir asur min haTorah. The Torah says that half of the amount is still usher. So let's say we say that the amount of time that's usher is 5 minutes. 1 minute is still usher. 1 second is still usher. Unless you're in a situation where it's impossible to be secluded for the amount of time that is usher. So let's say we say the amount of time that's usher is 5 minutes. If you're somewhere that you can't possibly be secluded for 5 minutes, like an elevator, because it's not under your control when it's going to open. It's going to open in 30 seconds, whether you like it or not. So then yichud would be mutter. So yichud's mutter in an elevator. It's not yichud. But when you're in a situation where you can't lock yourself in an apartment with a lady for 1 minute and say, oh, it's not the shir yichud. That would still be a problem. There's types of elevators in high-rise buildings that stay closed for a very long time. I'm not sure exactly what's like the longest amount of time, but you know if it's a long time, so then that might be something to stay away from. Okay, so who is yichud usher with? So we said it's all ladies. It doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 95. It's still usher to have yichud. The Torah applies to all men at all ages. So no matter how old you are, and no matter how old she is, it is still usher to have yichud with her. No one is so old that they can say that they won't be tempted. This is what we were saying in the introduction, that you can't say that, well, you know, I'll be fine, you know. She's 95, like, come on. It doesn't matter. The Torah says that it's forbidden. Yichud does not apply to parents or grandparents. So a father can have yichud with his daughter, a grandfather can have yichud with his granddaughter, a mother with her son, a grandmother with a grandson, that's fine. As well as a husband and wife. A husband and wife are allowed to have yichud with each other, even when she is asur to him, with one exception, which is that if they got married and she was asur and they never had a chance to be together, so then they would not be allowed to have yichud until she becomes mutter to him. It's also mutter to have yichud with your sister, but it's a little bit different. You can't have yichud with your sister on a permanent basis. For a brother and a sister to live with each other permanently would not be allowed. What's called a permanent basis, how long would be considered permanent, is a discussion amongst the rabbis. Some say 30 days, some say 3 days. Rav Moshe Feinstein said it depends on how it's looked at. If what you're doing, it's the way people would refer to it as temporary, so then that would be okay. If people wouldn't refer to it as temporary, it would not be okay. A question should be asked if a brother and sister need to stay together for an extended amount of time. Another place that the questions get very complicated and a question should be asked is after someone becomes a ger, or if someone has stepchildren, or if someone has adopted children. All these are complicated and a question should be asked. And there's usually ways that it can be dealt with in a normal way, but it needs to be dealt with, so speak to a rabbi. But yichud applies to married women, it applies to single women, it applies to Jewish women, and it applies to non-Jewish women, except for your mother, your grandmother, a grandson, a granddaughter, and a sister on a temporary basis. Fine. There's one other thing that the Shulchan Aruch discusses, which is yichud between two men. It's not something that should be, not thought about at all. It's something to be taken seriously. And you could discuss it with a Rav if there's a question that needs to be asked. But it's not something to be ignored. Okay, so that's who it's us to have yichud with. I'm sorry, one other thing. There is a minimum age for yichud. If a girl is under 3 years old, or a boy is under 9 years old, they are mutter to have yichud with. So a man can have yichud with a 2-year-old girl, or up to 3 years old, and a lady can have yichud with a boy under the age of 9. Okay, so that's who it's asked to have yichud with. The next thing to be discussed is all the situations that are potentially okay or not okay based on the situation. So the first thing to discuss is a concept called ishto mishamraso. A man's wife protects him, meaning that if your wife is around, if you're married and your wife is around, we'll define what that means in a minute, then we say that you're protected. You're like kind of scared of your wife, that you're not going to come to do anything wrong when she's around, so you're protected from doing anything wrong, so then yichud would be allowed. But she has to be around. That means she has to be there. Later we're going to talk about a lady whose husband is in the city. It doesn't work the same way now. If she's in the city, it's not good enough. She has to be home or out from home, meaning she's taking out the garbage or she even ran to the grocery store. Rabbi Haber said it would be fine. As long as she's around, she's home. You're home with her. She ran out to do an errand. She ran out to do something, but she's home with you, even though she ran out. If she's at work, she's not home. If she went to the mall for 3 hours with her friend, she's not home. If she's home and she just ran out for something, so she's still considered home. So you need to be with your wife, and then you're protected. And then it would not be considered a situation of yichud if there was another lady who would normally be usher for you to have yichud with. Okay, the next question that needs to be discussed is how many men or how many women is a problem. So one woman is allowed to have yichud with two men if they are what halacha defines in Hilchos Yichud as kosher men, as opposed to what halacha calls in this situation a parutz man. Well, I'm going to explain in a second what that means. But if there are two kosher men, she can have yichud with them. If they are three not kosher for these purposes, men, then she wouldn't. Then it would be okay. So two kosher men or three parutz men. The definition of what's called a kosher man in this regard is not so simple. Maybe the best way to say it in a simple way is a person who conducts himself with high moral Torah standards. That would be considered a kosher person. A person who is not under that definition, two is not enough. You need three such men. What would be if you have one kosher and one paritz? That's a question you should ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Fine, so we're saying that a lady can have yichud with two kosher men or three paritz men. At night, one more person is required. Because at night, we're nervous that one of them will fall asleep or need to go to the bathroom, and then there'll be yichud. It'll be one guy with one girl, and that's a problem. Or two paritz men and one girl, which is a problem. So you need one extra, because when there's an extra, so then we say when they fall asleep, he'll be nervous that one of them will wake up. So then one extra would be okay. If we're talking about not Jewish men, then three are needed. Okay, so that's one man with numerous amounts of women. What about the other way around? If you have one man, we discussed just now one woman with a few men. Now we're going to discuss one man with numerous women. So a man cannot have yichud with two women. That doesn't help. And probably even three or four women he should not have yichud with. But, you know, depending on the circumstance, if you speak to your rabbi, that the more women there are, the more mutter it might be. But there are exceptions to that. So even though in a normal circumstance we might be makel if there are more than two women, there are exceptions. The first exception is what we call libo gaspa. That basically means that you're very comfortable with her. Maybe she's your sister-in-law, so you've spent a lot of time with her. Maybe she's your cousin or your aunt or your neighbor or whatever. You really can't define it based on the relationship. You have to just know you and her and your relationship. And if you know each other well enough that you're comfortable and the normal barrier that a man might have when meeting a lady doesn't exist because he's known her for a long time and is comfortable with her, maybe even a coworker. So then, no matter how many women there are, it's going to be a problem. You cannot have yichud with many women if it's libo gaspa, if you're comfortable with them. Another exception to having yichud with more than two women would be if someone's work is with women. A good example of that is an OBGYN, or a man who works in a women's clothing store. He sells women's clothing. So what he does all day is spend time with women. So his comfort level with women is automatically more than anybody else's, because that's what he does. So then, no matter how many women he's with, he has to be careful of yichud. Okay. There's a question whether yichud applies when you're in two separate rooms. It's quite complicated. And it gets even more complicated if one of the doors is locked, or if, like, she's in a room that you have to go through his room to get to her room, and it's locked. Depends who has the key. It's quite complicated, and that's definitely a situation that one should ask Shaila. Okay, the next big topic, important topic, when it comes to Hilchos Yichud is called Baila Be'ir. If a lady's husband is in the city, so we say that she is somewhat protected from yichud because she's nervous because her husband's in the city and she won't come to do anything wrong. Now, there's two ways to look at the halacha of Baila Ba'ir. There's two ways to look at it. Either he could return at any moment. If he's in the city, he could show up at any second, and that's why it's okay. The other way it's looked at is that just knowing he's around makes her nervous. He's not going to show up. Doesn't matter if he's going to show up. But she knows that he's in the city, so that makes her nervous. And it makes a difference which way you look at it, because let's say you're in a big city, and his office is, you know, a good half-hour drive away, but you're in the same city. So is yichud mutter with her because her husband's in the city, so she's nervous knowing that he's around, or maybe no. There's no way he's showing up, at least within a half hour. She just spoke to him on the phone. She knows he's at work. He's not showing up. So we try not to rely on Baila Ba'ir, the husband being in the city, except if he's close enough to home that he could show up any second, and he knows where she is. You know, if she went out and didn't tell her husband, then she's in somebody else's house, and he has no idea, so he can't show up. So again, it's better not to rely on it. So the best situation to rely on Baal HaBa'ir would be if she's at home, or if she told him where she's going, and he could show up at any second. His office is close by, or wherever he is close by. Otherwise, we would try not to rely on this, but there, you know, based on other factors in the situation, it might be okay anyway. To have yichud with a lady with a non-Jew is questionable if her husband is in the city. So, you know, it would depend on the situation. If a man to have yichud with a non-Jewish lady whose husband is in the city, it doesn't help. It doesn't help if the non-Jewish lady's husband is in the city. It only helps if a Jewish lady's husband is in the city. We spoke about libo gaspa, a man and a lady who have extra comfort level with each other, because they're relatives, they're business partners, such and such. So you cannot have yichud with a lady who you're comfortable with, even if her husband is in the city. This heter does not apply. We're going to discuss the question of Pesach Pasuach in a minute. That means that if the place that you're secluded is open up to the public domain, so then it could make it okay. So libo gaspa, somebody you're comfortable with, is also questionable if that's going to help there. Something important to note is that every engaged couple have a status of libo gaspa. They're clearly very comfortable with each other. They're planning on getting married. So yichud should be very strict for them, because they could very easily potentially come to a situation of doing something that they'll regret, and they need to review these laws, and they should be reminded that they need to review these laws. Rabbi Haber told me that it's a question regarding Norfolk, Portsmouth, and Virginia Beach, whether for these purposes it's considered one city or not. So if you're in Norfolk and your wife is in Virginia Beach, and you want to know whether it's considered that you're in one city or not, it's not so simple, and maybe we would only rely on that with a combination of another factor.
Well, it depends if you pay a toll or not.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Well, that just goes on when it comes.
Okay, so then we mentioned the next thing is Pesach Pasuach, if there's a door open to the public domain. So when we say there's a door open to the public domain, we need to define what it means that the door is open, and we need to define what it means public domain. So what does it mean that the door is open? It could either mean that the door is literally open so that people can see in, or it just means that it's unlocked so that people could walk in. And the practical differences are if it's unlocked, well, does a window help? Because people can see in. So if we say that it needs to be open so people can see in, so then a window would help. If we say that it needs to be so that people could walk in, so then if there are people with the key that could walk in and it's locked, then maybe that would help. So an open door would for sure be okay. We would say that's okay. But for a closed door that's just unlocked, Rabbi Haber said that it would be best to not rely on just that. But if there are other factors, like we said, Baal HaBa'ir, if she's in the city, meaning a questionable case of she's in the city, that you're in Norfolk and she's in Virginia Beach because there's no toll, and you have the door unlocked, so then that would be okay, because we're combining the two reasons to be lenient.
Is it that the door is fully open and people can literally walk in off
this? People can see in.
Can see in. So you have to be in front of the door?
Right, so yeah, we're going to... One minute. So, like Mike said, if the point of this is that people can see in, and you're in the attic, and nobody can see in, so then it's not going to help. You would need to be in the area of the house that people can see in. Or if you're relying on your windows, that you've opened the blinds and you turn on the lights, and you've gone to the attic, so again, it doesn't help. So, and the doing it to the best way, being in the most preferable circumstance, would be leave the door open or leave the window open and be in that room, so that people can see you. if there's a house across the way that can see into your house with the lights on, so then that would help, because people could see in. One situation where leaving it unlocked would help would be in an office or a store where people are constantly in and out, because then for sure people are going to be coming in and out, and then we would rely on that. So we also said that we need to define what it means, a public domain, for these matters. When it comes to the halachas of Shabbos, it's a totally different story, and that has nothing to do with this Rishus HaRabim that we're talking about, this public domain. What we mean by public domain is there are people around. If you live in an apartment building in the stairwell, there are constantly people in the stairwell, so that's considered a public domain. If your door opens to a parking lot and there are people around in the parking lot, again, that would be called a public domain. If you live in an apartment building on the top floor and you're the only one on the top floor, so your door does not open to a public domain because nobody ever comes there. What's considered a public domain during the day is not necessarily considered a public domain at night. So at 3 in the morning, if you live in a city where there's nobody around at 3 in the morning, so then it's a problem. If you're in Manhattan, so then there is no time that it's a problem, probably, because there's always people around. Maybe it depends where in Manhattan you are. But, every situation has to be judged differently, but at night, it's much more likely to not be considered a public domain, and just leaving your door open would not help. But something that would help at night is if there's a house across the way and you turn on the lights so they can see in. So that might help at night if they can see into your house and you stay in the room that they could see in. Another issue that comes up at night is being in a car together at night. That could potentially be a problem of Yichud if you're in a secluded place and there's nobody around. 3 in the morning in some place where there's nobody around, that's yichud, and that is a problem, and that needs to be avoided. But if you're in an area where there are people, and people could technically see into your car, so then that would be okay. A place that comes up very often is driving a babysitter home at night. A question should be asked, you should discuss it with your rav, how late is it still okay for a man to drive a babysitter home, a female babysitter home, at night? It could become a problem, so it should be discussed with the rabbi.
Could she be put in the back seat and then drive her home?
Well, you're still having yichud even though she's in the back seat.
What about the trunk?
Rabbi Reuven says it's okay. Another way to make the place that you are considered open to the public is if you give three different people permission to come in whenever they feel like. If you, for whatever reason, find yourself in a situation where you need to be home with somebody that would be usher for you to be home with, so call three different friends or three different neighbors and say, please come over anytime tonight. Just show up and don't tell me when you're coming. And then if you've done that and if it's locked, if you want to lock, if you need to lock the door and you give them the key, you can make your situation into a mutter situation by doing that. Because your house is now public because people could come in at any minute. Okay. The next way to avoid yichud is with what's called a shomer, someone who guards from yichud. The first person who guards from yichud is your wife. If your wife is around, a woman whose husband is in the city. A man, we said, with his wife is never in a situation of yichud. Now, if you're with a woman whose husband is in the city, we spoke about that yichud with her could be mutter if you've fulfilled all the conditions that we spoke about. So if you're with her and her husband is in the city and there are other women there, it's okay because you've avoided yichud by having somebody there who's mutter. Really, the rule is, if it's mutter to have yichud with one of the people, one of the ladies there, she'll protect everybody else, and it'll be okay. Another interesting application of a shomer is there are certain ladies who have a relationship with each other that halacha says they, to a certain extent, don't get along with each other automatically. And therefore, if one of them did something wrong, the other one will rat her out. The examples that are given is a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, a stepmother and a stepdaughter, and sisters-in-law, meaning a lady with her husband's sister. They will rat each other out if one of them does something wrong. So they protect each other from yichud. If you have yichud, you can have yichud with a lady and her daughter-in-law because they're not going to cover for each other.
Security cameras concerned with the Shomer?
I don't know. That's right, right.
Well, only if it's here, not by itself.
But clearly, I mean, you can view it and you can go back and record. I mean, it's recorded for a month behind.
Yeah, but who's going to read?
It's going to be exciting, right? So what's it about? But the problem is, he said, it could be that it's a psychological thing. Like, right, the Bible of the ear, right, just they're around. In other words, it's not that there's someone watching, it's more a psychological thing that someone's
there.
Like
this case is that everybody's watching.
So we only
but really, nobody's watching.
Huh?
But nobody. But again, sometimes nobody's watching.
So you know someone's watching, right? We only use it together with something else.
Yeah.
Okay, the next case of someone who guards from Yichud, who's considered a Shomer, is a young girl or a boy between certain ages, meaning they have to be old enough that they would tell on you if you did something that they thought was strange. Like if the 1-year-old, it doesn't help. But they also have to be young enough that they haven't themselves gone into the question of being, you know, shayach, possible that they'll themselves do something wrong. So what that age is, what the range is not so simple. It really, really depends on the child's maturity. If this is a child who, you know, matured early and could possibly do something, then there would be a problem. If you know, so it really depends on the kid and depends on the situation. A very, very general guideline, which shouldn't be relied upon, is just to give you an idea, somewhere between the ages of 5 and 11. So again, a child who is old enough that they would tell on you, but young enough that they're not going to do anything themselves, is considered a shomer. They guard against yichud. Is that right? But what if
a woman's worried about yichud with a man? No, so if a man's worried about yichud with a woman, and there's a boy there, so then he doesn't do it, right?
Right. Yeah. If you can't have yichud with that person, then they can't be a shomer.
Right.
If you're a man and she's a woman, and there's a 9-year-old boy there, so you're
that would be okay.
Boy, right, and that might help.
Right. But maybe even a 10-year-old boy or an 11-year-old boy.
Okay.
Again, depending on the maturity of the child you're talking about. If a child shomer only works before their normal bedtime, once you've passed their normal bedtime, so then we're worried that they might go to sleep and you would need two such children. Again, any woman that is mutter to have yichud with is a good shomer. So if your mother is there, so then you're good to go no matter who else is there. At night, a second shomer is always needed, because again, we're always worried that somebody will go to sleep and then there'll be yichud. Your own children are good shomerim against yichud. If your children are there, then they could help for yichud. So if your daughter has a friend over, that could potentially be okay. Okay, so that basically covers the general guidelines. The important things to remember are that a man's wife helps him from yichud. Woman's husband being in the city helps from yichud. One woman can have yichud with two men if they're kosher, or three men if they're not. At night they need an extra. One man cannot have yichud with numerous women. In a pressing circumstance, maybe he could if there's three or four women. And if it's open to the public domain, depending on the circumstance, it could also be okay. I just want to discuss a few very practical cases and how you need to approach them and discuss it with the Rav if you have such a situation. So the first one we already spoke about is babysitters. So a lady cannot babysit a 9-year-old boy or older. That's yichud. It's not okay. But you can make it okay. If you need to have a lady babysit your 10-year-old boy, so you just need to figure out how to make it okay. If you have children who are considered shomrim there, you have a six-year-old boy there also, or a six-year-old girl there also, so that child's a shomer. If it's at night, you need to have two. But if you have a shomer, then it makes it okay. Or maybe Pesach Pasuach could help if your door is wide open and they hang out in the front. Or if you give a few neighbors a key and say, stop by and check in on them, it could also be okay. So if it's a problem of Yichud, you need to figure out how to make it not a problem of Yichud by having shomrim or having the door open. But a lady cannot be a babysitter for a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old and above boy, just the two of them, without the proper heterim. A man cannot babysit for a 3-year-old girl and above. That's aser. Unless you have shomrim there, you have people who guard against Yichud, other children who are older within the range, or if there's a door open to Rosh HaSaramim. But a man on his own with a 3-year-old girl is not okay for them to babysit. And like we said before, for a man to drive the female babysitter home at night, you have to know how late it is and how secluded it is and figure out whether it's okay or not. That's babysitters. The next situation that commonly is a yichud situation is cleaning ladies and or workmen who come to your house. A lady cannot be home alone with a workman. That's yichud. If the plumber comes over and she's home by herself, that's yichud, that's a problem. So she needs to figure out how to make it not yichud. The first thing that could help is if her husband is home. But we said before that, I'm sorry, the husband being in the city. If he's home, it's for sure okay. If her husband's in the city, so if he's Jewish, it could help. If he's not Jewish, it might not help. You should speak to your Rav about that. Because the husband being in the city, and also it depends how far away he is, and all the other factors of the husband being in the city and whether it works. Another way for it to help is bring somebody over. Somebody should come over who protects against yichud, and then that will help. Or leave the front door open, or ask your neighbors to stop by, and that could also help. A man cannot stay home with the cleaning lady. That's yichud. You need to bring somebody over who protects against yichud, or you need to leave the front door open and stay near the front door so that people can see you from the outside. Yichud at work. Being at work could often lead to yichud, especially if you're in a small office where people aren't in and out. If you work in a store where there's constantly people coming in, or a very busy office where there's a lot of people in and out, so then it won't be a problem. But if it's quiet, or if you're staying after hours and nobody's showing up, so then that could be yichud, and you need to prepare so that it won't be a problem. Yes.
Related to work situations, obviously my profession,
right?
Psychology, I think to some extent, we have the issue of doing psychotherapy.
Right, where you need to be, private.
Private.
Right. So there are ways for it to be okay. It's complicated, and it should be discussed with the rabbis to be avoided.
What's the insurance guideline? Aren't there guidelines from insurance? About as far as locking the door or anything like that?
I'm aware of
it.
Insurance guidelines.
I thought they're ethical guidelines.
Ethical. And what are those?
That you can't lock the door.
Can't lock the door.
You'll have to be able to walk in.
Yeah, but will anyone ever walk in? Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever walk in, though. But there are other factors. There are other factors. There's... First of all, the fact that if anything were to happen, it could completely ruin your career and your reputation could be a factor. Another thing that could be a factor is if there's a concept that when somebody is busy with his work, so he's focused on his work and he's not focused on whatever else. So that could also help. So you need to combine the different factors and figure out if it's a problem or it's not a problem and work it out with the rabbi so that it shouldn't be a problem. A common problem that makes it a little bit more complicated at work is that if you work with somebody on a regular basis, so then it's libo gaspa, you become comfortable with them because you see them every day and you talk to them every day and you're comfortable with them. So that factor needs to be... You need to be aware of that factor when figuring out whether your situation is a problem or not. It really, the problems can be avoided. You just need to be aware of it and speak to your Rav, and then you can work it out. One last thing that I wanted to discuss is boarders. If you have boarders living in your house, if you have young girls living in your house, it could potentially be a problem. But first of all, for you, if your wife is around, it's not a problem. We discussed that. If not, if you have children who are of the Shomer age between 5 and 11, like we said, they could help it not be a Yichud problem. But if you have boys over the age of 9 and they might be home alone with your boarder, that could be a problem. So that needs to be avoided unless you've taken other precautions. One way that helps a lot with boarders is if she has her own area of the house that's like separate with her own bathroom, and she could lock herself in and not need to leave, so then that could help. So the setup of your house could make a big difference in whether or not there's a problem. But again, the point is to be aware that there could be an issue there, and you should speak to a rabbi. I hope this was somewhat helpful and not very confusing, and that we can use the information that you learned tonight to protect yourself from any problems. Thank you for listening.
We're going to take a break next week, and the final class I'll be giving is going to be included.